All right, turn in your Bibles, please, to Psalm 84 for an introduction. Pastor Shibeli shared on in the staff meeting on Tuesday on love, and I loved listening to him minister to us about love, and I asked if he could do that tonight. So if God leads him, that'll be a really great message to hear, especially because there is a need in the human heart for love. And we're living in a time where the love of many waxes cold, iniquity abounds, and the church is a place where we find God's love. It's shed abroad out of our hearts, Romans 5:5. And we are gathering together now like we do every year. What happened to convention 1 year ago? Anybody remember that? Huh? What happened? Yeah, we postponed it. In June, we moved it to August. And then we kind of canceled it. I don't know. We were confused. We canceled it or do we keep? And we had it. And then we had EuroCon in March. Was it March? And that was also canceled in Hungary, which is where that was going to happen. But we had it here. We had EuroCon here in Baltimore. And the way we did it was 1 o'clock. Services here were broadcast in Europe, and they were in their meeting places and homes and watching the service for the message from the Lord to their hearts in Europe at about 8 o'clock in the evening. So they are in Europe, 8 o'clock in the evening, 1 o'clock in the afternoon here. And we're going to do the same during this convention. We're going to have a 1 o'clock in the afternoon session, and they'll be watching that over in Africa, Europe, wherever they can, Russia, and so on. And then in the evening, we will have our service here, 7 o'clock. And just like block that off starting next week. Monday is night is not a service time, but we will be gathering out here. We'll have a concert out there with Julius Thompson's band. And the food booths and a good time out there in the parking lot. That'll be Monday night. And Tuesday night, Tuesday afternoon, and then, Tuesday morning with the pastors' meetings and workshops in the morning, and then 1 o'clock in here, and then 7 o'clock in here. And it's free, except for children. You have to pay for their program, because they do bus trips and various things through the week. So we anticipate a good time. Thank you. Marion just said thank you that it's free. And what do we say to her? Don't even mention it. Thank you. Turn to Psalm 84, verse 1. How amiable are your tabernacles, O Lord of hosts? Anybody know what does amiable mean? Friendly, okay. Lovely, maybe. Amour, that French word for love. Amiable, lovely. How pleasant, how convenient are your tabernacles? This is a tabernacle of people. We are the house of God. And have you sensed how amiable it is? Have you felt loved? Have you felt encouraged, connected? Well, the psalmist is saying God's house. I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. Why was he glad? But because in the house of the Lord there is love. Verse 2, my soul longeth, yea, even fainteth, for the courts of the Lord. Notice there's a parallel metaphor here. There is the house of God in the Old Testament, and then today in the New Testament, there is the church. We have a court. We have a ministry. We have assembly. We have song. We have teaching. We have each other. And it is, in a way, addictive, desired. When you get in the habit of being together, it grows on you. It kind of grows in you, and you desire it. And the psalmist is saying that his soul longs for it. And he says, my heart and my flesh, my heart and my flesh cries out for the living God. I think there are Christians at home tonight that are crying out for the living God, but they don't come to the house, but they are at home and they're crying out for the living God. Sometimes in nature walks or out on the water, I meet somebody who's an avid nature enthusiast, and they say, as I share my faith, they say, I find God out here, you know, under this, you know, on the water, or I find God out in nature. And what do you say to that? I say, I understand that, and I think there is healing in it, possibly, because the psalmist said, I will look unto the hills from whence cometh my help. My help cometh from the Lord. Two things together. I look to the hills, and then my help comes from the Lord. Maybe when I look at the stars, God is present, and I worship God. Maybe when I look at the ocean, I worship God. But this cannot substitute for the house, the tabernacle, because he is saying, I long for the living God in the tabernacle, in the house. It's called the body of Christ. The Puritans used to teach the greatest manifestation of God takes place when we assemble together. So biblically true, because the body of Christ is the fullness of God, the fullness of Christ. So look at this for a minute in verse 3. Yea, the sparrow has found a house, and the swallow a nest for herself. Now, I would like to say probably each one of you have found a nest. I think that you could call your home. A bird has a nest, a human being has a house. But that nest may not be in the tabernacle. That nest is over in Rosedale, over there. It's in Harford County. Where is your nest located? Where is your nest? You are a bird. Where is your nest? I sometimes tell people you live in three places, generally. Number one, your house. Number two, where you work. And where is your third place? And I wait for the answer. Some say it's in the park. I have a hobby. I'm on the boat. It's at the health club. Where is your third place? Bowling alley, bar room. Where is your third place? First place, your nest. the second place, your job, and where is your third place? And you can get into a discussion with people about that because it is thought-provoking. Where do I spend a lot of my time? Where do I make my place? Where do I want to be? Where do I... Because I'm thirsty for the living God. I want God. So this is what this psalm is about. Read how it goes there in verse 3, part B. Where she may lay her young, even thine altars, O Lord of hosts, say, my King and my God. Her house is even in God's house. Her house, the bird's house, is even in the altars of God in the house. Verse 4. Blessed are they that dwell in your house. They will be still praising thee. I think this is where people's praises stops. It stops because they are not in God's house. How did the praise stop? I had my first place, my second place, my third place, and every once in a while I would go to the church. Where does the praise, what happens to the praise? It stops. What happens with finding the living God? It stops. What happens with my friendships? They are never become what they could be in the development and the growth that happens in the house of God. And so people stay home. Or they go for a walk, or they go to the store, or they go to their job, and they don't have any house of God. Where's the house of God? The birds say, we will make our nest in the house of God. We will live in the house of God. We will move into the house of God. Because I think to be honest, when Jesus was here, he was in rest and peace, but he had his disciples around him, and this was actually the house of God. Where did they sleep at night? In the house of God. You might say this is radical. Well, bear with me. I think it is. But I honestly feel that this is why there is the depression, the fear, the emptiness, the loneliness. I actually feel this is why that people do not praise God. I think it's why because they kind of get confused. They don't have the wisdom and the knowledge and the love and the encouragement and the connection and the motivation and the passion and the sense of direction. Because this is where we find it. God's ordained plan for the house of God to be on the earth in the body of believers. So in closing, be careful where you make your nest. You might be off in Montana somewhere, up in the mountains, disappeared off the grid, disappeared, you're gone. You just got cans of pork and beans piled up, and that's your nest. That's your nest. You got be careful where you make your nest. Like, make your nest in God's house as much as you possibly can. Because this is, and to those that I'm speaking to, maybe because maybe some people are listening more. Because we have our convention coming in a few days, and this could be the beginning of our convention in a sense, to say, it's time to check in, come by, stop in. It's time to draw near, knock it off. It's difficult times in the world. Do you see it? Can you smell it? Do you realize it? I need God's house. I need his house. My Bible alone is not enough. I need my brother and my sister. I need a pastor, I need a fellowship, I need the Holy Spirit to help me and encourage me. Your goodness and kindness, it's not enough for the warfare. You're a great guy, but we need you to stand in the marketplace and in the working place and to take a stand in the public school and to have an opinion and to say a word and push back. Guys, I don't believe in lies, the believer says. I cannot lie. I don't believe in lies. Where'd you learn that? The house of God. If you left me in my nest alone, you know, what would I be? And many of us can say this. I don't know what we have become, but we have become a lot more than we would have been if we had been left alone in our nest somewhere away from God's house. Okay? All right, turn to your neighbor for a minute and just say, what did he say? What did he say? What's he talking about?
This is going to be a very, 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 very exciting convention. Amen? Very, very, not just exciting, but very, 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 very exciting convention, and very anointed. And the Moores are here, Pastor Chris Moore and Gosha. If I miss somebody else, it's because I can't see you, but I saw them. Thank you for coming all the way from, is it Houston? Not Dallas, right? Houston. I'm just joking, okay? Ephesians chapter 3, verse 19, and to know the love of Christ, Ephesians 3:19, which passes knowledge, passes like mere knowledge, knowledge without God, that you might be filled with the fullness of God. Now unto him that is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that works in us. And I believe that's the power of the Holy Spirit and his love. Unto him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end. Amen. Father, thank you tonight and bless our time here. And thank you for the church of the living God, the pillar and ground of the truth. What a great mystery. Great is the mystery of godliness. Thank you, God, for the church. Where would we be? We'd be out there somewhere doing something maybe, but God's glory is found in the church. So bless this night in Jesus' name. Amen. If you were to read the book of Ephesians, and I'm sure you do, you would find so much truth. Whenever I remember teaching and hearing taught a practical ecclesiology, which was a personal and practical aspect of the church, it was always Ephesians that was taught, because in the book of Ephesians, you have so many incredible scriptural references to the church. The church is where the purpose of God is found in Ephesians 1, 9 through 11. The church is where the fullness of God is found in Ephesians 1, 21 through 23. The church is where the love of God is found in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 4, 3:16 through 20. It's amazing. The gifts of God are found in the church. You see, the gifts are in the church in the book of Ephesians. You see, so much is found in the church, the will of God, the purpose of God, the life of God, the love of God, the grace of God, the glory of God, the gifts of God. The armor, by the way, this is interesting. When it speaks about the armor of God in Ephesians 6:10 through, I think, 18, it's always in the plural, which I came to think that maybe this could mean, this is just my viewpoint on it, that I have armor when I'm in the church. The armor of God, take upon the whole armor of God. When I don't need a church and I'm out there without a church, I think that I have a great possibility of really being hit and hit hard by the enemy. I believe the armor of God is in the church. Because the head is attached to the what? The body. The head's attached to the body. And so the word of God found in the church, it doesn't take away from my believer priesthood to study to show myself approved in 2 Timothy 2:15 and 2 Timothy 3:14 through 16. But I need both, because I think sometimes if I just had my Bible to study, I have met people that do not have a church and they study their Bible, but they can get strangely subjective and their interpretation becomes something that can actually take place in their own mind with a private interpretation. Then you also could find on the opposite end where people are in the church and they hear the Bible preached, but they never open up the Bible. And then if error was to happen in the church, they would never know it. They would have no idea that something that was going on that shouldn't be going on. So praise the Lord for the church. Amen. Amen. I like what this says. Matthew 16:18, it's a verse that I'm sure we've heard many times. We know, I will build my church. Amen. Doesn't say you will build his church. Doesn't say you will build your church. At all. It says, I will build my church. Then it says this, and the gates, the word is poule, the power and the counsel of hell will not prevail against it. Well, that would say to me that if I don't have a church and I don't need a church, then maybe there are things that would prevail against me. The gates of hell will not prevail against me. And this is Jesus speaking about the church. And I was thinking about God's love today and how love is so evident and so to be found in the church. When Paul spoke to the Corinthians, one of the problems with the Corinthian church was because of all of the situations that were going on. Men kind of going for position and people attacking the Apostle Paul. The wisdom of the Greeks coming in and the Roman Empire and paganism and idolatry and people living with their father's wife, 1 Corinthians chapter 5, taking each other to court, 1 Corinthians chapter 6, marriage problems, 1 Corinthians chapter 7, puffed up knowledge, 1 Corinthians chapter 8, a lack of the gospel, 1 Corinthians 9, all kinds of things are going on. And then Paul says something interesting. Yet show I unto you a more excellent way. 1 Corinthians 12:31. He says, I want to show you something that's more excellent, hooper bowly. It's above and beyond all that's going on or all that you could even think of manufacturing in the flesh. I want to show you a more excellent way. And really thinking that love needed to be the motivation of this church. The church. I mean, thinking of the motivation of God, we talked about it today a little bit, and I've been really dwelling on it. You think about the entire Trinity before we ever were even there. They loved each other. Amen? The Father loved the Son loved the Father loved the Spirit loved the Son loved the Spirit loved the Son. That was eternal and personal. There was this motivation, they had this love that they had one for another. Then we came on the scene, and they didn't say, let's make a dog or a tree or a mountain in our own image. By the way, God, his love for, people have a lot of love for things. But last time I kissed this pulpit and talked to it, it didn't respond so well. Nothing is said. Just there's no response back. I mean, God loves people. Amen? It's loving people. But see, Satan has all kinds of seduction that he pushes towards the church to get us at times to love things more than loving God and loving people. And this can happen in this day and age where we have such an advancement of technology and such a progressive society. It's amazing how all of a sudden I can find myself loving things and not people, God himself and people. I think you can like things, but you don't love them. I mean, I like my Jeep after 20 years, it's gone. But I don't love my Jeep. Okay? I don't like my wife, I love my wife. Amen. I don't like the church, I love the church. Amen. Are you with me?
So much so that Jesus said, by this shall all men know that you are my disciples. You want to know how people are going to know that we're Christians? How? Love one another. That means not looking at anybody in the flesh based upon their past, their old sin nature, what's going on in their life, the trial, the test, what's happening, what they're going through, what weird things might be happening, but loving people because Christ is in them. Amen? Hello? Okay, I want to make sure we got that. You know?
And I was thinking when I was sitting there tonight, you know, so many people are, they think about God. What is God's purpose? I think God's purpose is very simple. God's purpose is to love you. That's it. That's it. God's purpose is to love us. Romans 8:28. All things work together for good to them who love God, who are called according to his purpose, and he calls us with the purpose of loving us. That's his purpose, loving us. And when something happens, and especially this is so key for the church, when the church, and like this church and this ministry, I've been a part of it since 1976, whatnot, this loving, that's what drew me into the church. I didn't know anything about preaching. I hadn't really heard Bible preaching. The music seemed kind of strange to me. You know, I was used to, like, you know, in certain kind of music, and I'm like, there's somebody with a guitar there? What are they doing? And whatnot. And the facility wasn't overwhelming. And the people didn't even so much like the way they looked, the way they dressed and whatnot, you know? And yet there was something about their relationships that drew us in. I remember the first time we went to a church service. They took our two children that were very small. I don't even know how old they were. How old were they, Linda? Huh? 3 or 4 years old. And they put them in a van and drove them away to Sunday school. My wife said, these people are crazy. Sunday school was not at the church. It was 3 blocks away. And they're crying and they're screaming. And they're crying and they're like that. She said, that's it. That's it. So it took a while to come back. I think it was a number of people that visited, and they just continued to love us right through that episode. And we found this amazing love in the church. And really, this is so important. And we're not talking about perfect love is positional, and love is being transforming people and changing people in the church. And so we just believe the best about people and look at them through finished work love. I was thinking, why Peter, his mistake was being by himself. Are you with me? Simon, Simon, Satan has desired to have you. In the Greek, it says he's demanded you back for himself. But I have prayed for you, and he may sift you as wheat. But I have prayed for you, and when you are converted, strengthen your brethren. See, he was not with the brethren. He was by himself when he got sifted, wasn't he? He was by himself when he was warming himself by a fire. And being by myself, you know what? I don't trust myself. Anything could happen. Anything could take place. Things that you could never, I would never do that. Oh, really? Oh, so your old sin nature is not that bad, huh? Jesus really didn't have to be crucified for your old sin nature, just for some people's old sin natures. No. He was by himself. And I think it even happened, and we saw love growing in Peter because he had a real problem when the Jews, when the Gentiles were there and the Jews came up in the book of Acts, Acts 10 and 11. And he separated himself from the Gentiles when the Jews came. He was afraid. By the way, his great problem, I believe, was fear of religious people. Fear of the Jews, and he separated himself. And Paul says, you're not walking according to the truth of the gospel. Do you understand we are to love Gentiles? We are to love the nations. We are to love people. It's not, our love is not based upon age or color or how much a person possesses or what their job is or if they have a job or they don't have a job, whether they're single, they're married, they're divorced, whatever's taking place, they have children, they don't have any children. Our love is unconditional, amen? And it's unending and it's found in the church. And this is the motivation. This is the why. I thought about this. I spoke about this a little bit. It's not what we do.
It's not where we are. It's not when we do it. It's not who we know. It's not the who. It's the why. The why is the key to my Christian life. My motivation. What motivates me? What motivates a person to get married? What motivates a person to have children? What motivates a person to work a job? What motivates a person to be in the church? What motivates a person to be a pastor or a preacher? What motivates a person? What is the motivation? Because if the motivation is correct, God so loved the world, that was his motivation. If the motivation is spiritually right with God, the operation will be perfect. But when the motivation's wrong, eventually that dries up. And before you know it, well, I got something else to do with my life. Well, I thought I'd go in this direction now. Oh, I thought I'd change locations. You know, location changers. By the way, I'm not going anywhere other than where my church is. I'm sorry I had to say that, but I just said it. You got that, Jesse? I'm just joking. I'm going where my church is. You say, I don't know if I want you to, what you're going to say. I don't change locations for a job. I can get a better job in California. And I can also die in California. Well, sorry about that. I can get a better job in Minnesota. Somebody said to me recently, do you know how much money with what you do, what you could make salary-wise? I think that's when we were making, somebody said to me, we were making about $100 a month. You remember that? I don't want to reveal that thing. But somebody asked me, I said, I'm overpaid. $125 a week. I just went to Dr. Stevens and said, I'm overpaid. I didn't say we. I said, I'm overpaid. I think do something else with it. But what's the motivation? The motivation was to be here in this church because of God's love. Amen? What's the motivation? Jonah, what's your motivation? This is all messed up when your motivation is absolutely in the wrong place. David, what's your motivation? What happened when you killed Uriah to take his wife? You had the wrong motivation. What happened there? What took place? It was so key that these 11 men who Jesus had chosen would have a motivation that was based on agape love. This unending, unconditional, personal, eternal love. This is the key to motivation. And now don't sit back and go home tonight and just start analyzing every little thing you do. Okay? So, well, did I do that because of love? Did I do that because of love? You know, you could drive yourself to a place where you need a doctor, a mental doctor, a spiritual doctor. But I say to myself, why? Why? Why is this taking place? Am I motivated by God's love? And I want to grow in being motivated by God's love. Why do we evangelize? Why does this church evangelize the whole world? Why is this church in 80 countries with 778 churches? Why? We love people. We love Finns. I have three amazing people in my office, Pastor Ronaldo, Ula Pirio, and Pastor Gary Grunwald. They gave me, for Father's Day, new shoes. Now, listen. I don't know why. Maybe they got so tired of me wearing the same shoes for the last 20 years. No. But you know what? I like the shoes, but I love them. Are you listening? I like the shoes. I don't love them. But I love them. I love them. And I want to get away. We have to get away so easily you can creep in loving things. Loving things. And that's not God's purpose. God's purpose is for me to receive his love, to love him, and to love people. And to love the gospel. Bringing the gospel to people. We bring the gospel to people. If our motivation is love, then it's going to take place. If it's not love, it's just to, you know, to tag a person, say a prayer, and then get you to church. All right? But if it's not to love people, why do we visit people? Because we love them. Why do we, I think of Pastor Steve Angelonis and how he's so like, has such a heart to do anything he's asked to do in the ministry. It's because God loves him and he loves God. Amen? I'm sure of this. It's love is the motivation. Love is the motivation. How important that is. And when I find myself drifting from that, somehow it can happen to each and every one of us. Why did we go to Africa? Can't stand the place. No, I mean, physically? Are you kidding me? You know what I'm talking about, don't you, Isabel? I can't stand the... I mean, are you kidding? You must be kidding. You wake up, you don't know which government's in charge. Or if there even is one. You have no idea. You don't know which mosquito that's going to bite you is going to kill you. So you have to take this pill or that pill. And whatnot. And the heat. And what's taking place. And whatnot. We go to Africa, we go to China, we go to Russia, we go to Southeast Asia, we go to South America, we go to Europe, we go to Houston. Why? Because we're motivated by God's love. Love for people. That's the key. It's not, I don't have love for Texas. Sorry about that. I was there once in the what you would call the armed services. My big thrill was buying a Bowie knife at the Alamo. I don't know what that meant at all, but I like that, and I love that knife, and then I shouldn't have loved it and should have just liked it, and then it was stolen from me. It was just gone over. So simply tonight, let's just let God love us. Let's be motivated by God's love. That means when that takes place, that everything that's going on, you know, Philemon said, Paul said to Philemon, I have a lot of confidence in your obedience. Why did Paul have confidence in Philemon's obedience? Because six times he said, beloved, to Philemon, you love Onesimus, you're beloved, you love. Six times he used the word agape. And he says, I have confidence in your obedience because your obedience is based upon God's love. It's not just based upon some religious exercise or something that I do to please people, oh, I'm going to please God by what I do. No, if it's not motivated by love, God is not pleased. It's all based upon his love. In Matthew 3:17 and Matthew 17:5, he said, this is my beloved son. This is the son of my love in whom I'm well pleased. Motivation, God's love. Marriage, motivated by love. Relationships, motivated by agape love. Church ministry, motivated by love. Missions, motivated by love. Going to work every day, and maybe I'm in an environment and it's not so good externally, but I'm motivated by God's love. I used to physically, I worked in a prison for 10 years, and the vulgarity and the things that would take place in the atmosphere, the drug selling in the prisons, the dope smoking, all these things that were going on. And I think the guards and the administration were worse than the criminals. You know what? I went there and kept going. I tried to get out of that so many times. But God said, I love these prisoners. I love these people behind bars. And I want you to love them with my love. And watch what God will do to change them. That became the only motivation for going. It certainly wasn't money. It certainly wasn't the environment at all. But it was simply agape love. Amen? Agape love. Amen. Song of Solomon. Solomon, as we close again. Ecclesiastes. In Ecclesiastes, Solomon used the word vanity under the sun or under heaven 84 times. He had everything. I wrote this down on the back of my notes. He had great power, verses 112. He came to great estate, 116. He had great experience, 116. He had great wisdom, 117. He did great works, chapter 2, verse 4. He had great possessions, chapter 2, verse 7. And then he said, I am great, in 2:9. But you know what happened? In chapter 2, a little bit later on, he says, I hate life. I hate life. What happened? Song of Solomon needed to happen. Set me as a seal upon your heart and upon your arm, for love is as strong as death. Love. He had to come back to God's love, receiving God's love, and that gets rid of all those other things. That takes care of it. You know, I thought about what his name was. It wasn't Solomon. David named him Solomon because he thought he had peace with God. Then Jedidiah said, the prophet said, his name is Jedidiah, one who's greatly loved. Solomon was greatly loved,
greatly loved by God, and so are we. Daniel 10, 11, and 19, O man greatly loved. We are greatly loved by God. That's the motivation. Never forget that. Don't let Satan steal it. Don't let the old sin nature try to put it out. Don't let the world attack it. But say to yourself, through the inspiration of the Holy Spirit on a daily basis, I am loved by God. Say that right now. I am loved by God. I am greatly loved by God. I am greatly, 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 greatly loved by God. And that will never end. Father, thank you tonight. Thank you. For love is the motivation. Grace is the operation. We thank you tonight. We thank you for this love. Jeremiah spoke about it in Jeremiah 31. Yes, I have loved you with an everlasting love, and with loving kindness I will draw you. I will build you again, O virgin Israel. Hosea talked about love, God's love for Israel, even when they fail. We think about the cross and the manifestation of God's love. Father, forgive them. They know not what they do. That's love. Love forgives. Love builds. Love motivates. Love calls those things that are not as though they were. Love sees a person in Christ. Love can change a marriage, a family, relationships, a mission, a gospel, a country. God's love. God's love. Just before I end the prayer, one more thing I just thought of. Sorry. But two Chinese people were going on this journey over mountains. And it got to be very, very cold and very, very snowing a lot and deep snow. And they just knew that they weren't going to make it. And one of them, their clothing was very light. And one of them took all of his clothes off, laid down in the snow, and put his arms out. And that, he says, I love you. Keep going. So he put his clothes on himself, and he made it. That was an amazing story. It's a true story. Two Chinese Christians. He made it. Father, thank you once again. If you are watching on the internet, you are here in the assembly hall. Jesus loves you. It cannot be said enough around the world. God loves. He loves the weak. He loves those without strength. He loves sinners. He loves those who are unrighteous, those who are no good. He sheds the love of God abroad. Towards us, that's his mission. God's purpose is to love us. We thank you. If you have never received this love or the love of Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, simply say, Jesus, save me. On the internet, wherever you're watching, whatever country you're in, whatever state you're in, thank you for loving me, God. I receive you as my personal Savior. I want to experience his personal love that will deliver me from sin and evil, will deliver me from hell and destruction, will give me a place in the church, the body of Christ, where I can grow in this love. We thank you tonight. That's your prayer. Just ask Jesus. Say yes to Jesus' love. We thank you tonight. Pray that you would touch us. In Jesus' name, amen.